Hi, my name is Barry Manandi and you're listening to the ZFM Sport Podcast.
ZFM Stereo. 24/7. ZFM Stereo.
Lionel Messi has conquered his final bid. Lionel Messi has shaken hands with paradise.
Argentina, champions of the world. And the nation will tango all night long.
It's time for the biggest sports story.
Max Verstappen has taken the checkered flag to win the Japanese Grand Prix.
Max Verstappen. Two-time world champion.
The biggest interviews.
She's on happy tears, I guess. I don't know. And I wouldn't be Serena if it wasn't Venus. So thank you, Venus.
And all the analysis right here.
There's no question that LeBron James, at the worst, is a top three player in the history of basketball since the game was invented. I don't want to hear that. It's just blasphemous. Let me finish. I'll let you talk.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport. Let's join the team for the biggest show in the world of sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
A very good evening to you, Zimbabwe. Welcome to it. This is ZFM Sport on a Thursday, Throwback Thursday. So our music selection goes back into time. My name is Barry Manandi. I'm joined by, of course, our producer, Sean Tafirenyika. Our number in the studio, 0772-168-045. So get in touch with us on WhatsApp and let us know what is on your mind. Got a good show lined up for you because the first half of the show consists of us being joined in the studio by the CEO, that's Chief Executive Officer of the Zimbabwe Olympic Committee, Marlene Chiedza Gadzirai, who will be talking about the just ended World Championships in athletics, as well as the plans that the ZOC has about preparing our athletes for elite and podium performance. That's going to be exciting. Send through your messages 0772-168-045. Time for our power play.
Hi, you're listening to ZFM Sport. My name's Graham Sharp, and I'm the first Zimbabwean to take on the Dakar Rally in a bike.
Z.
Sounds of Lynyrd Skynyrd from 1974, Sweet Home Alabama. You know what, Sean? This song has been used and reused so often that it has currency. But when you then look at the release date, 1974, that's old, old.
Yeah, no, that's old, old. I was actually shocked. 1974. I don't even think I was.
Because you know the track, right?
Yeah, I know the track. Everyone knows Sweet Home Alabama.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. But I know it's old.
There we go.
It's a very old track.
I dipped right to the bottom of the bag today. 0772-168-045. That's our number right here in the studio. Our WhatsApp number, of course, 0772-168-045. We are talking to the CEO of the ZOC, the Zimbabwe Olympic Committee, Marlene Gadzirai, after a local sports news roundup with Sean.
Stay right where you are. Move to the groove of the nation. The Home Front. Local sports news and analysis.
Let's start the local sports news roundup with some cricket news, where the United Arab Emirates women beat Zimbabwe, the Lady Chevrons, by 92 runs in a warm-up match yesterday, preparing for their upcoming ODI series. So United Arab Emirates women scoring 230 runs, and Zimbabwe A women bowled out for 138, resulting in that 92-run victory. In CAF Champions League news, the Zimbabwe Football Association has extended its heartfelt congratulations to Simba Bora following their hard-fought 1-0 away victory at Eswatini's Ntsikizini Hospice, not Ntsikizi, in the first leg of their continental campaign. Now, in a statement issued by ZIFA, the association president, Norila Magwizi, he described the win as more than just a result on the pitch, saying that it symbolizes national pride and the resilience of Zimbabwe football. We wrap it up with Kasolaga Premier Soccer League news, where Highlanders coach Peter De Jong has again called for the Bosso faithful to throng Bubblefield Stadium on Sunday, with when they face ZPC Kariba in the Kasolaga Premier Soccer League encounter. De Jong believes they will need their 12th man in the fight to survive relegation. Bosso fans played a huge role in the team getting a 2-1 penalty shootout victory over Scotland in the Chibuku Super Cup quarterfinal match last Sunday, and De Jong is hoping the supporters will bring the same energy on Sunday.
ZFM stereo is untouchable. The Warriors, the Chevrons, the Cheetahs, the Mighty Warriors, and the Sables. From the pool to the track to the field, we are Team Zimbabwe.
All right, now the Zimbabwe National Athletics team delivered a historic performance at the recent Tokyo World Athletics Championships, marking a new era for the country's track and field program. While they didn't bring home any medals, the eight-member squad achieved a record number of top 10 finishes, placing four athletes among the world's elite. And today, of course, we are joined by the Chief Executive Officer of the Zimbabwe Olympic Committee, Marlene Gazirai, straight out of Tokyo, Japan. Welcome home.
Thank you. Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa. Yeah, I like that. Whatever.
Thank you, man. How are you?
No, Marlene, thank you so much for joining us and also for flying the flag out at the Tokyo World Champs. And in truth, we didn't expect what we saw, but then when we saw it, we thought to ourselves, actually, that's pretty, but just about right.
Yeah, totally. I think also coming from the Olympics in Paris, particularly if we're looking at the first race was the marathon with Isaac Mpofu placing 10th. But if you also look at his times, I think from number 4 to number 10, they all ran 2 hours, 10 minutes, and they were just separated by either minutes or seconds. And for Isaac, as a marathon, I think he's really, really done well. I think he's now actually the best marathoner that Zimbabwe has produced. And at 38 years old, he's still daring to go and very fit and, you know, always putting in the work. For Tendai Zimuto, it was his first World Championships, so he's also on our radar as we're looking towards LA 2028 because he's also quite young. And then, of course, I mean, the two sprinters, definitely they've also started running in the Diamond League. They've gone pro, they've left the NCAA circuit, which is very good for them. And, you know, such competitions keep them quite exposed and also getting to know their rivals. The ladies, definitely, Maisoreva in 400 meters, she did quite well. It was also her first World Championships. And Ashley Kamangirira as well, 400 meter hurdle. So it was a very, very good outing. And also to see Fortuna Chidziwo, she's also been plagued by a number of injuries of late, but she also did quite well. Shengetai Mapaya in triple jump, he also, you know, acquitted himself quite well within the competitions as well, because he trains himself. He's working full time. He graduated already, so he's working full time. Says he wakes up at 3, 4 a.m. Self-trained, wakes up at 3-4 a.m. to train and then go to work, come back and, you know, train again before he sleeps. Wow. And then wakes up again to go back to work. So,
and that was a semi-final, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was in the semi-final. He's now ranked 22nd in the world. Okay. in triple jump. So I think those athletes, they really did quite well for Zimbabwe.
And I want to double click on our sprinters, because of course those are the flag bearers, those are the poster boys, Makarao, and of course
Charamba.
And when you say they've gone pro, what does that actually mean? Okay. Because in Zimbabwe, professional has a very different meaning to what it actually means in sporting circles.
It could actually mean the same. Mm. So these guys, they were in the NCAA, which is the National Collegiate Athletics Association, where they were competing. And as we speak,
that's when they were at school. Right?
That's when they were at school. And Makarao is actually number one, and Charamba won silver, right at the ultimate of the competitions. But during the season, they were just exchanging position one and position two. So what this means is they're no longer within the college system. They're no longer on scholarships, but they're now professional athletes, to speak. So they're sponsored. Makarao signed with the Swiss company On.
Okay.
And Charamba is with Adidas. It means that they are now, I think they're more financially stable. They're now running as a profession.
Wow.
And also in terms of their races, if you also look at where they'll be racing, they won't be racing as much as they were doing in the collegiate system, because all these are like, your fixtures, your sort of your weekly fixtures, but then they have to be sort of deliberate about the competitions in which they race, because then it adds to their ranking, it adds their exposure, it also then builds in terms of their strength and where exactly they want to race. They'll go to Europe, different countries, but with agents. So it's more of a whole professional, a whole system around them that is only focusing on them
And do the sponsors sort of assist with their training regimen, et cetera, coaching and that sort of thing, because their development was assisted in great part by the collegiate system that already has an established way in which they develop an athlete. Now they've got to get the sort of support from a coaching perspective, even though they're out of that system.
So they also get the coaches that they want as well. So for example, Sharamba is coached by Zimbabwean Olympian Ken Handen, who's also the assistant coach at the college that Sharamba is at, and so they can also choose to stay with their coaches. Makarao, from the coach that he had in Paris, he now has a different coach. But then it's not just the coaches, it's your nutrition, your physiotherapy, everything around your medication, your doctors, your psychologist as well. So it then becomes a very big system around yourself. So it's not so much that you've abandoned everything, but it just shows that you've gone to a different level. So it's a higher level, actually.
So we can realistically expect that they're going to kick on from here, these two.
Indeed, having talked to them in Japan, of course, their next stop is LA 2028. So that's what they're training for. Of course, the World Championships was the last competition in the season. They do a bit of resting, but then they start training again. So that's where they want to go.
Okay, all right. So we're going to see them in the Diamond League and all sorts. The next one I think that everybody has an eye on is Isaac Mpofu. Because from an age perspective, from just the level at which he performed, everybody sort of had their eyes wide open. But as I said earlier, on reflection, it's sort of, but he's been doing it. And it's a source of great pride for you, I'm sure, but certainly for the nation.
Definitely. So Isaac in the marathon, he has really been very consistent based on the races. This was his fourth World Championships. And I think the first one, he was actually number 10 as well. And I remember when I came the other time where he ran the Boston Marathon and he was number 6.
Yeah.
So his times, I think he's right up there as a proper elite athlete. And he keeps, and he's very hard working. He is very committed. He can be in camp for 4 or 5 months just, running and ensuring that everything is set for him. And he's based in Zimbabwe. And he's also been a source of inspiration for the other marathon runners, particularly Tendai Zimuto, with whom he trains. And they both then qualified to go to the World Championship. So he's also been a very, very good athlete.
About Tendai Zimuto. Of course, he suffered that sprain and he finished 61st, but largely as a result, as he had sort of played through the pain, and it's credit to him.
I think also for those that for whom it was the first time at the World Championships, it's also not that easy to just come up and come out tops, but also just talking about those small injuries as well, those are things that need to be looked at when we're also going into competition. But also just happy that they finished the races. You do realize a number of these marathon runners really finish their races because of the heat, the conditions and etc. But just seeing him trudging through like that and managing to finish the race, and I think for him, he says there were lots of lessons learned from him participating in the World Championships.
And how about the ladies? I know there's Ashley Miller.
Although
sometimes you see Ashley Kamangirira. So which name are we going with first?
We are going with
that's a good question. Exactly.
We're going with Ashley Kamangirira.
Her and Vimbai Maishorewa, what are the prospects? Because these are, if you follow athletics keenly, you know them, but for the broader audience, we know the two sprinters, but we know that they've been making waves on the 400 circuit, Ashley doing the 400 meter hurdles, and Vimbai, I know that she's a pure 400 meter runner.
Ashley Kamangira is actually ranked 39th in the world, so it was also her first time, which is very good for first, and they're also looking to qualify for Los Angeles 2028, same as Bimbai. She's in the 60s in the world rankings, but she also did quite well in the at the world championships. And also they have also said they would want to probably be part of a mixed relay team, mixed 4x400 relay team. So they have quite high ambitions, and they're raring to go as well. So this was an eye-opener for them, but also just trying to encourage more ladies, because we have a number of members. We also really need more ladies on that elite level of competition.
Yeah, and then taking a look at how football is sort of incorporating more of the diaspora to encourage them to, you know, to be in the set of line for the national team and stuff like that. What's the Zimbabwe Olympic Committee's approach as far as scouting for diaspora talent?
So one of the main things is that we're also looking at prioritizing our sport codes so that we are able to focus on you know where we have our strengths. And I think the first sport code
we've been crying out for that
for the longest time,
saying we just try to do everything, and then we don't actually have any specialization.
Indeed.
And in a second I want to talk about Botswana, but anyway,
okay, we'll talk about Botswana. So we're looking at athletics, and so we also have been very intentional as the Olympic Committee, knowing that we work through federations, definitely work through the National Athletics Association of Zimbabwe, but also at Olympic level, what we're doing is we're tracking these athletes based on various tiers, tier 1, tier 2, tier 3. For example, your tier 1 is your athletes in the world ranking top 20, and so we make sure that we're tracking them, supporting them fully. And to really answer your question on the diaspora aspect, within the Olympic Committee, we have various commissions, and we have the Technical and Development Commission. Within that commission, one of the members is Brian Zingai, the Olympian, and he's based in the USA. So his job is to actually look at and recruit these athletes based in the USA. So what he does is always sends us these reports, tracking them, communicates with them, with their coaches, also even assist them to maybe sometimes change their colleges to ensure that they get the best coaches where they go. So that's also part of our approach to ensuring that we have the diaspora athletes. So we're not just writing emails or calling them, but we actually have people within that diaspora. And also credit to the Athletics Association, NAS, where the physiotherapist in Japan was Louis Banda, who was also an Olympian and part of the teams that used to run for Zimbabwe, and he's also based in the USA and works with the athletes in the USA. So it's also part of, it's not just the athletes, but also just coming, bringing the whole system together, because they also get used to each other at that level. So that's part of what we're doing on that end as well.
That's really exciting, because like I said earlier, we watch with great pride and interest the occurrences that are taking place in Botswana. Now, they made a decision several years ago, and they said, right, we are going to be a sprint country. We're gonna go for the shorter distances. Mm-hmm. And they double-clicked on it, and now we're seeing the fruit. And most of the world is sitting up and taking notice that where's Botswana come from?
Mm-hmm.
But us as neighbors saw it happen. We would love for us to have that sort of plan, and that's why we applaud the fact that now we're going to limit where we want to play.
Indeed. We have to be very intentional and deliberate on what we're focusing on. And we're talking about Botswana. I was talking to the Botswana team as well in Japan, and we're talking about athletics, right? And within athletics, it's track and field.
Yeah.
So you won't see anyone from Botswana in marathon. Mm. You won't see them throwing the javelin, you know, but they're right there in 800 meters, 400 meters,
track.
100 meters, 100 meters.
Yeah.
That's them. And they have a whole programming system around that. And fun fact, if you look at where we also have our strengths, you look at Kenya, Ethiopia, Uganda, they're very good in the long distances.
Yeah, long distance,
if you look at the Olympics, 400 meter bronze was won by Zambia.
Mm.
4x100 was won by South Africa, silver medal. 100 meters and 200 meters, Letsile in Botswana. And then we have two Zimbabwean sprinters in there. So it may be a genetic thing that, you know, at this side of Africa, we're very good in the short distances.
Short distances,
but I think it's more about ensuring that we invest, we focus on, you know, the main thing.
Mm.
I know athletics is really the big thing. It's not that we are abandoning any other sport code, but if we really want to then get onto the podium, we have to make sure that we focus instead of spreading ourselves too thin.
And that's excellent to hear. So Botswana made a decision. We have made a decision, and hopefully we can walk the journey towards success on the podium. Just taking a look at some of your messages. 0772168045. Anichax in Glenview says, if we can be able to have two sprinters at this stage, I think we have more out there who have not been fully developed. For example, myself.
Amazing.
If I had known how to run on my toes, I would have gone so far. Because ndai tshaira vanhu ndichiridza pasi netsoka yese. Some guy out there just needs some technical developments. Now, I want to couple his question or his comment with this. We've seen that the America First agenda beginning to take root under President Donald Trump. Obviously, it's going to get more and more difficult to get into the United States. The United States has done us a solid in terms of development of our athletes.
Right.
So now we're going to have to develop our own capabilities locally. Do we have a plan for that? Are we working towards that to ensure that we can develop, whether it's in the pool, on the track, or whatever the case may be, just as America becomes more insular?
I think one of the other issues is also that in Japan we also had ministry officials getting to interact with the athletes as well, and hearing what the athletes want, those based in the USA and also those based in Zimbabwe. And then further to that, we've also then decided to talk more about that national program on what exactly we want to achieve, what is it that we're looking at in terms of the support for athletes as well. When we talk, as I said, the Botswana program, all the Botswana athletes are based in Botswana. None of them is based outside Botswana, so they have a very solid program for them. Just recently, as the Olympic Committee, we held a sports science seminar where we brought in the academics from your NAST, Bindura University, to mix with the elite coaches from different federations. We then had the rugby technical team coming to present on injury prevention, on how they managed to get Zimbabwe to win against Namibia. All those technical issues. We also have your Dr. Maulana talking about prevention of injury within sport, but just bringing in that issue around sports science. So I think we are on a journey to ensure that we also capacitate not just the athletes, because athletes, we do have that talent, but we just need that technical support, but also making sure that we have the adequate technical support. So instead of just importing or waiting, for example, on the USA to have, you know, the facilities good enough for the athletes or the nutritionists, we have nutritionists. We have Zimbabwean nutritionists. Mm. We have Zimbabwean strength and conditioning coaches. Yeah. We have the academics as well. When they're talking about biokinetics and etc. in the seminar, you saw that all these people are based in Mlawa, in Bindura, in Harare. We even have a national sports academy in Bindura. So all those facilities just need to be capacitated and, you know, get more from them to ensure that, you know, and have that goal. Where exactly do we want to go? Yes, we have this, but we also have the issue of facilities, the competitions that we have. How are we recruiting or nurturing our talent? So I think it's just putting our systems in place, because as Zimbabweans, I believe we already have that talent. We have the education. We also have a lot of inquiries from Zimbabweans outside who want to come and also assist, which is also very good. And so we just need to ensure that we open ourselves up and ensure that, you know, they come in and they mix with even the people that are here. And I believe we can actually have something very big coming out of that.
This is hugely exciting indeed. We're talking to the CEO of the Zimbabwe Olympic Committee, Marlene Gazirai, who we understand had a very intriguing meeting with Lord Sebastian Coe in Tokyo. How did that go? And what did y'all chat about? Did you ask him how he lost the election to Zimbabwe?
No, of course I didn't. we were in the everything was happening at the Japan National Stadium, and we had booked a meeting with him, but particularly with the permanent secretary of the Minister of Sport, Recreation, Arts and Culture. So it was just a conversation with him, with the World Athletics, and he was also just asking, oh, what are you guys doing? How best do you think we can, you know, improve our sport, our athletes? We were talking about Botswana. So it was quite an interesting conversation, because that is when Makarao and Charamba were running in the heats. Makarao won his heat and Charamba came second, and he came back. He's like, you guys, look at that. You guys are really doing well in Zim. Of course, there is a lot to be done, because these guys are based in the US, and I think there's a lot more of the training that the regimes are quite different from when they were in Zim. But he was also just encouraging us that, you know, you guys have been quite consistent in your athletics and you're doing much better. And he knew he had the stats. I mean, of course, he knew we were going to meet with him. But he was just, you know, just encouraging us to just say, you know what, keep the program going, ensure that you have a whole program, and ensure that you also look at your grassroots development. How good is it? And have that very, very big pool, and engage with your education ministry, for example, because that is where the pool of athletes come from. And we're also then talking about how, for example, athletics is in first term, second term is ball games, yeah, and third term is exams as a sport, for example. Mm. But you're saying, you know, just be consistent in
exams as a sport,
because no one wants to do sports in third term, you know.
They completely stop.
Exams in progress. Yeah. So it was just that that encouragement and just talking about, you know, what Zimbabwe can do better, how World Athletics can also assist, but also through the National Athletics Association of Zimbabwe. We were also with the president, Mr. Tagara, there, and they were just, you know, it was just sharing notes and just getting more experience and, you know, getting a little bit of advice from him as well.
Very good to hear that sort of engagement always yields fruit. There's a message here that says, we don't have facilities to perform in grassroots level. I am a teacher at a primary school in Mangura. What are we doing to improve local facilities? Tirukuitira ma sports more gravel, tisina kana ma tracks. So I think that that's a question for government, and your engagements at those levels, infrastructure, investment into infrastructure. I think there's a lot more we can do.
There is indeed, and I won't underrate that comment as well, because that's where we get or we lose our talent as well, and also how we are searching or nurturing or developing that talent as well. Because my dream is to know who's the best 100 meter runner in Mangura versus the best 100 meter runner in Mutoko, for example. Yeah. So, you know, just having that whole very, very big program. But I'm also happy that the SRC will be bringing back the National Youth Games. I think all these platforms are very necessary for us to develop or discover that talent. But again, on the facilities issue, I think it's something that as a nation, we all really need to work on within the whole system. Because if we all then come together and not just wait for either the Ministry of Sport, which actually does not own any land, or the Ministry of, you know, the councils themselves, and just make sure that we are all working together towards that one goal, to ensure that all our sporting facilities are being used even for sport and not for other things. So there's a whole bigger conversation on that, and I think we really just need to turn back around on that, because we used to have those facilities for sport. They're not new facilities, but we just need to renovate and ensure that they're back to that form as well.
100%. Let me read one more message before we wrap it up. Hi guys, thanks for being the CEO of the Zimbabwe Olympic Committee. Firstly, my congratulations to the committee for the performance of our guys in Tokyo. Well done, but we could have done better with a more focused selection system that is grassroots based and spread around the provinces. I worked in Cholocho years back, and I can tell you for a fact there are a lot of long distance runners out there. They just lack proper training and exposure. My suggestion is that the committee should work on producing athletics coaches that are seconded to these out of the way places to spot and assist these guys. I sponsor athletic season in schools and monitor it for up and coming talent. I tell you, with a good plan and deliberate approach, we can be an athletic superpower. Let's plan for 2028. That's Esmpofu in Bulawayo. Now, it's great your suggestions you're making, but some of them are for the NAAZ.
I was going to say that. So it's a whole system that needs to also just come together. Because at our level, unfortunately, we can't jump protocol, so to speak. Yes. So some of the development naturally should come from the Athletics Association, because they are the custodian of athletics. So it is through their technical systems that everything works. Of course, we come in because our interest is ensuring that we develop and, you know, facilitate that movement for athletes at elite level. So at some point, we expect somebody to have, you know, ensure that the grassroots is done with and the development is done with. And then we then sort of assist at another level. Yeah. And you know, we keep going at that on that direction.
Well, thanks for clarifying that. 2028, LA. Have we started our build up? Are you happy with where we are? And do you see a better Olympiad?
2028 has already started. As we always say, the Olympics are a journey. We are already tracking the athletes that are within the high rankings within the world rankings and starting to support them. So the athletes that went to Tokyo, we paid for their flights as the Olympic Committee. So all the athletes and the coaches, just to ensure that they are exposed. We also look at other sporting codes, for example, Andy Capers in triathlon. We've also supported her. She's just gone for a competition. So just that support also on an Olympic level to ensure that the athletes are competing at world stages, at global stages, at world championships, or these international stages, just for their exposure and also for their rankings to go up. Yeah. We're also in communication and conversation with national federations to just, you know, give us that pool of talent where we have that expectation of more athletes qualifying for the Olympics. We are quite ambitious. We'd like more than 10 athletes, obviously, to qualify for LA, and we're also looking at least one or two teams to also qualify, because we really need a big number and more athletes to go there. So we have the program for podium performances. We're looking at maybe at the sprinters, no pressure. We're also looking at more athletes qualifying. So it's a journey that's already started, and we're tracking and trying to ensure that we also support them. It's not just watching them from afar, as I've said, ensuring that they compete at these levels, ensuring that they're educated in clean sport, in safeguarding, everything around the athlete, and also looking through issues around safeguarding, nutrition, and making sure that their coaches are also well trained, because we also need to support the coaches themselves as well. So it's a journey that has started, and we definitely would also appreciate a lot of support for the athletes to go and reach that far as well.
Well, we'll be here to tell the story. Thank you so much for coming through. Marlene, CEO of the Zimbabwe Olympic Committee, fresh out of Tokyo, Japan. Yet again, no invitation was extended to ZFM Sport to tag along. But yeah, we'll keep waiting and keep hoping, keep praying and fasting.
We will invite you. Just to add on that, the journey to LA 2028, we also have Youth Olympics next year in Senegal in October. Yeah. So that's also part of the pipeline and pathway towards Olympics. So we're also looking at these athletes. They'll compete in Angola this year at the African Youth Games, and then we go with them to the Youth Olympics in 2027. Then 2027, we have the African Games in Egypt, and then of course LA 2028. So it's a pathway where there are different pit stops as well for
that's
the athletes.
Quite clear, 100%. Thank you so much, Marlene. Thanks for coming through and answering the call, and also all you're doing for our Olympians or prospective Olympians.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, ZFM Sport, we are going to take you into Around the World in 60 with Sean, and then it'll be time for our Play of the Day.
From the front of the grid to the back of the net, it's ZFM Sport. Around the World in 60 Seconds, international sports news.
Let's start beginning in Australia, where Wallabies fly half James O'Connor has been rewarded with the number 10 jersey following his globe-trotting journey, while prop James Slipper will become the first Wallaby to play 150 tests in the Rugby Championship class against the New Zealand All Blacks on Saturday. In England, women's rugby head coach John Mitchell has named an unchanged England squad for Saturday's Rugby World Cup final against Canada, with a star fullback Eli Kildan pass fit to play. In the United Arab Emirates, defending champions India booked their spot in the Asia Cup final with a 41-run victory over Bangladesh. I hope they take on Pakistan. Then we wrap it up with news out of the United States, where Europe's golfers are ready for award number two, Rory McIlroy, to become a heckling magnet for a raucous United States supporters when the Ryder Cup begins tomorrow at Bethpage Black in New York. I didn't ask you this. Which team do you actually think is going to win the Ryder Cup? But no, this is the Ryder Cup. It's kind of on the low.
I think Europe is the team. I think United States has got great individuals. I think the individuals are going to prevail over the team.
So, Team USA.
Team USA.
The big leagues. The big teams. The big players. The beautiful game on ZFM Sport. All the rivalry.
Goal for Liverpool early on Derby Day.
All the stars.
There goes Haaland. He's on his way again. He's hungry. He's scored. He always does. He always will. Nothing more certain.
And all the game-changing moments.
We find a way through. You bet he can. That is top, top class.
All the updates from the Premier League on ZFM Sport.
All right, let's talk about what's happening in England. And it was Cup time, Carabao Cup time, this past midweek. Now, Eberechi Eze scored his first goal for Arsenal in their 2-0 Carabao Cup win over Port Vale. And manager Mikel Arteta has said the attacking midfielder will deliver more magic moments when he clicks with his new teammate. What's your general assessment? Because in the last two matches, he's got an assist and a goal now. Assist against Man City and a goal against Port Vale. With respect to Port Vale, he should score against Port Vale, but it's about getting into the positions and getting his eye in. Do you think it's happening?
I think it's happening because I think there's also an assist there against Nottingham Forest. So he seems to, you can tell that he's not at his peak yet. He's still getting used to the team environment. And I think there still needs to be sort of specialization, I'll use that word, because yes, in as much as football has come positionless, there's still question marks of whether he's going to be used primarily as a number 10, meaning that he'll be backing up Martin Odegaard, or he's going to be playing on the left-hand side.
Right.
You know, I know a lot of Arsenal fans aren't really keen on Martinelli playing as a left side, so they're thinking that Eze could occupy that left-handed winger-type role. So it's to see where he really fits in, but you can tell that his best attributes are when he's operating from the middle.
Yeah.
He's certainly very effective.
He's very effective, very dangerous, and creates a lot of stuff for everyone around him. There's a message here to do with football that I saw earlier that maybe we can deal with straight away. Toby Palekjivero says, hi guys, great show, keep it up. South African football has taken big strides whilst Isukuno, we are stagnant. Kuona, a player akuva ku Europe in a stable league, the Portuguese league, and joining Sundowns, that speaks volumes about their level that they are now. So yeah, movement of players.
Where did Lyle Foster come? Was it Orlando Pirates before he went to Burnley?
Lyle Foster was he wasn't at Pirates. Where was he? Didn't he start out at like a Stellies and then move to Pirates?
Did he?
We'll check that.
Yeah.
We'll check that. All right. So anyway, let's go back to England. Last night's Carabao Cup key results: Huddersfield Town beaten by Man City 2-0. Newcastle 4-1 winners over Bradford. Tottenham 3-0 winners of Doncaster Rovers. And the fourth round draw looks like this: Arsenal takes on Brighton. Grimsby Town versus Brentford. Swansea City versus Manchester City. Newcastle takes on Tottenham in probably the pick of the fixtures in the fourth round. Wrexham versus Cardiff City. Liverpool will take on Crystal Palace in another. Or. All Premier League affair: Wolves versus Chelsea, and then Wickham Wanderers will be taking on Fulham.
Do you believe in those hoodoo teams? Because I know Crystal Palace for you guys.
Yes. As long as we don't play Crystal Palace on a Monday night, we're fine.
You're fine.
We can't beat Crystal Palace on a Monday
night. As long
night
as it's not
for
a Monday
love
night.
Or for money. If it's a Monday night, it's a done deal. Fridays, mixed results. We've won some, but Monday night, Liverpool versus Crystal Palace, Crystal Palace versus Liverpool, we're dead in the water, especially
when you're chasing the league.
The league that makes football all so beautiful, where artistry and strokes of genius are the order of any day, where the game is played with a smile. All the youth from the Spanish La Liga on ZFM Sport.
All right, let's talk Spanish football now. Julian Alvarez scored a hat-trick to snatch Atletico Madrid a thrilling 3-2 win over Rayo Vallecano in La Liga last night. The Argentina international helped Atletico secure only their second win from six league matches during a shaky start to the campaign. What's your view on the start that Atletico Madrid has gone through? Very often, Diego Simeone teams can pick up a head of steam, but at the same time, we don't know what
what to expect.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think he's struggling to really settle on who he wants to play in attack, because sometimes it's Soloth, and then sometimes it's Llorente, and now Julian Alvarez. But I think Julian Alvarez is their best attacker. But it's always an issue where, as an attacker, you might not have your best game, but then it's so disappointing that you then find out the next game you're dropped.
Yeah.
And then you come in again, you always feel like you have to prove yourself. You're struggling to find...
You're starting from scratch. Huh?
Yeah, so I feel like he needs to pick an attacker and support him and stick to him. But I'm also of the opinion that maybe it's becoming a bit stale for Diego Simeone.
It's and been stale, though. It's been stale. Because I think since the times when you had a Atletico Madrid pushing everybody,
yeah,
and becoming the third team in Spain, they still are, technically. They haven't been able to hit those heady heights. They won the league, and that was it. So for me, after winning the league, one season, two season, I think he should have shipped out. But you can't see Diego Simeone coaching any other team.
Yeah, because his imprint is firmly on that squad. But with the trajectory of how things are going at the moment, I don't think they're going to be that third team, because you look at Villarreal, they look like they're on a bit of a revival at the moment. They look like they are back.
Yeah.
You've also got your Sevilla and Valencia in and among the mix now this season. So Atletico Madrid,
Real Sociedad can be there or thereabouts.
Yeah.
They can leave teams with a bloody nose.
Yeah.
So that third spot is at a premium. Yeah, it's been confirmed. Yeah, you were right. Lyle Foster played for Pirates before he went to Burnley. That's Elias Manzanga in South Africa. Yes, indeed. Before that, though, he was one of those coastal teams. I'm pretty positive of that during his developmental years. So, talking Atletico Madrid, the loss of... what's his name? Went to Inter Miami.
Inter Miami, the Argentine...
Yeah, Messi's bodyguard.
Argentine midfielder.
Yeah.
One of the fancy hairstyles.
Yes. Losing him...
Yes.
In that midfield, you can sort of see the gap that he left.
Yeah, and which baffles me, because no offense to the United States of America, but if I'm going to that league, I'm at the tail end of my career, and he didn't look like
Rodrigo
de Paul, and he didn't look like he was at the tail end. So I didn't understand that move. And for me this season, if Atletico Madrid don't finish inside the top three, I think it's time. I think the board of directors should be looking at this and saying, if we don't achieve anything tangible with Simeone this season, they need to cut him loose and go a different direction. But the problem now is that the identity of Atletico Madrid and Diego Simeone are so intertwined.
But I don't know how you
break that relationship.
It has to change. Whoever comes in, and there's a suggestion here from an Atletico Madrid fan. He says, Simeone has done a wonderful job at Atletico Madrid. We appreciate it. It's time to let him go and bring the Bournemouth coach. And the identity will definitely change as a result now. It'll be more possession-based. There'll be a little quicker transitions, etc., etc. And it'll be so different to what they are used to. But at some point, they've got to change the diet, because they've been feeding on Diego Simeone football for way too long. All right, let's give you the rest of last night's results. Getafe 1-1 draw with Deportivo Alavés. Real Sociedad 1-0, beaten 1-0, beating Real Mallorca 1-0. And then tonight's matches, Osasuna takes on Elche. Real Oviedo takes on Barcelona. Europa League matches, yeah?
Sorry, just a quick one before we move on. Someone was talking about the Bournemouth coach.
Yes.
I also want to say that he's going to be in demand.
Yeah.
Because it's just us, like, we don't win anything to turn out Antonio Iraola.
Iraola has certainly built his a good coach. He's built his stock at a small team, but beware.
Yeah, team of
beware. 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 Anyway, let's give you those results. Dinamo Zagreb 3-1 over Fenerbahce. Roma 2-1 winners over Nice. Real Betis and Nottingham Forest in an entertaining 2-2 draw. And then Braga 1-0 winners over Feyenoord. The key matches from the Europa League tonight. Stuttgart versus Celta Vigo. RB
be Salzburg versus FC Porto, and then Aston Villa will take on Bologna. We're out of time. Tomorrow's our preview show. We'll be building up to the big Harare derby. That's Dynamo's taking on Caps United on tomorrow's show. So don't miss it and get your predictions ready. For now, may God bless you. Yes, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Manande out.
Lionel Messi has conquered his final peak. Lionel Messi has shaken hands with paradise.
The biggest sports stories.
Max Verstappen has taken the checkered flag to win the Japanese Grand Prix.
The biggest interviews.
These are happy tears, I guess. I don't know. And I wouldn't be Serena if it wasn't Venus. No.
All the analysis right here.
There's no question that LeBron James, at the worst, is a top three player in the history of basketball since the game was invented. I don't want to hear that. It's just blasphemous.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
Hi, this is Mike Mundled, and you can catch me and the team for all the latest breaking news out of the world of sport, local as well as international, on your favorite station, my station, your station, ZFM. We are Z Team on ZFM Sport.
Z.